You know, three very significant things happened in 1845. One would really concern all of us. In 1845, Texas became part of the United States of America. Now that involves us all. In 1845, Baylor University began. Now that may not be your big deal, but to those of us who have involvement with Baylor, in Independence, not in Waco, it's in Independence, Texas. That's right out of Brenham. You go to Brenham, where Bluebell is. Go in and get your little Bluebell ice cream and get back in your car and turn right and go down the road not very far, and there's Independence and the old church is there, and it's just quite a thing to go see. And then, of course, later Baylor moved to Waco. And then in 1845, another thing happened that really relates to you and to me. That is the Southern Baptist Convention. We're a Southern Baptist church. And our denomination was actually born in 1845 in Augusta, Georgia. Now, you know Augusta, Georgia, perhaps by the Masters Golf Tournament every year. Well, it was in 1845 that a group of Christian people met. And they met because they had a fuss. They were having an argument. Can you believe Baptists started fussing? That's how we were born. You say, what in the world were they fussing about in 1845? Well, what they were fussing about was whether or not, are you ready for this? You may decide to be a Methodist or Presbyterian after I tell this. Why did we begin? The argument was whether or not a missionary could own slaves. And they just had a good fight about that. And the end of that story is the Southern Baptist Convention. Named Southern Baptist because Augusta, Georgia is in the South. Today, Southern Baptists all over the world. Now, go forward 3 years, 1848, something happened very, very interesting. And that is gold. G-O-L-D, gold, was discovered in California. And many people in 1848 were having a hard time having food for their family. And they decided the smart thing to do would be to go west. And what they did was they went west and they went by wagon trains. And I have a picture of wagon trains up on the screen. And if you look, you see the very lead train and all those wagons are lined up behind the lead train. They stay, if I can say it this way, they had a rhythm. Like one wagon didn't decide to take a shortcut. No, they stayed in rhythm. They stayed in pattern. They stayed in flow. It was a long, long journey. And they got there. They went through all of that to discover gold that perishes. And I was thinking this morning, you and I one day, we're going to find gold, not that will perish, but we're going to find a city whose streets are paved with what? Gold. Yeah, gold we're headed for won't be perishing. Well, you know, life is very much the same way. When in life, you and I are in life, and if we can do it this way, if we can think of God as the lead wagon, we'll just say in our mind, God is the lead wagon. If we will get in rhythm and we will follow God, and if He goes to the right, we go. The left, we go. And we keep that pattern, we keep that flow, our life will wind up not only much better, but the journey in getting there will be far greater. Now, that little thought, there are three things this morning about the sermon that I hope you will remember. Now, that's a bold statement. Three things I hope you remember, but I do. I wish you'd take your bulletin and let me give them to you very, very quick, and then we'll just deal with them. First of all, I want you to remember that life, L-I-F-E, life has a rhythm. That's what God intends. A pattern, a flow. And it's very possible in your life to get out of rhythm, to get out of pattern, get out of flow. Well, life has a rhythm. Number two, I want you to remember what I'm going to show you in the Bible this morning, be in one word, about how to get rhythm in your life. You might say this morning, Pastor, the truth is my life right now is just kind of out of rhythm. I'm out of flow. Well, I'm going to show you in a moment, one word, how you can get your life in rhythm, how you can get rhythm in your life. And then number three, and it may be the most important, for you may have rhythm in your life now. Listen to me. You can lose it. You won't lose your relationship with God, but you can lose your rhythm. We do. All of us from time to time do. We'll talk about that. And in one word, I'll show you the secret, and that is how to keep rhythm in your life. So let's just begin with that very first thing, that life has a rhythm. Now, think with me a moment. Number one, you have a body, B-O-D-Y. You have a body. I'm touching my body right now. I'm looking at my body. You have a body. We all do. And we need to remember what the Bible says about our body. It says a lot, but one of the things it says, listen carefully, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My old earthly body, your earthly body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. In fact, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In Romans chapter 12, it says we are to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. So the Bible has much to say about the body. Now, you have a body. Now, you not only have a body, you have a brain. You have a brain. Some of you, more brain than others. But we all have a brain. And whatever your brain, it's in your head. And here's where we think. Here's where we think. In fact, John mentioned Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. That little word, or that little phrase, set your mind, means you have to train your mind on things above. See, our mind, if we don't obey that verse and train our mind, if we just let our mind do its thing, it will pretty much stay on the things on earth. That's where it is. I mean, we're all consumed with, you know, this and that and yonder here on earth. Well, the Bible says we are to train our minds. So it's something you have to work at. It won't happen naturally. You train your mind to think on things above. So with our brain, that's exactly what we do. And the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. In other words, you are what you think. That's exactly what the Bible says. Now, here's what we know. Here's what we know. If your body is out of rhythm, it's not a good journey. If your brain is out of rhythm, it's not a good journey. And so we need to understand the importance. And many things can get our body out of rhythm. Like a person could be physically sick, a person could have pain, a person maybe with their body, they're not taking care of their body, they don't get proper rest, they don't have good nutrition, they don't do any exercise. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. Your body will get out of rhythm. Your body will be out of rhythm. And when your body is out of rhythm, that is not a good thing. The same thing for our mind. If we don't train our mind to see the things above and we just focus on the here and the now and, you know, all the pleasures of life, I'm telling you what, it doesn't work out real well for us. It's not good. Now, here's the next thing, though. How do you get rhythm in your life? How do you get rhythm in your life? How do you get a pattern in your life? How do you get a flow in your life? Well, the Apostle Paul, in his life and in his writings, give us the answer to that in a very special way. And the answer is, and I'm going to show it to you, the answer is you make God and the things of God, here's the word, the passion of your life. You make God and the things of God. Now you say, what do you mean the things of God? Let me mention His Word, the Bible, His Word. Prayer, church, worship, private corporate. Now, these are things of God, His Word. Prayer, not only our talking to God, but our listening to God as He speaks to us. Church, you're doing right now. And worship, we're doing now, corporate worship. But it's private and corporate worship. Now, when you begin to do those things, you'll have a real passion in your life. Now, the Apostle Paul is a great example. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Philippians. Just open your Bible, please, to the book of Philippians. And we want to look at a verse together. We're turning to the book of Philippians. And I want you to look with me in chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. And look down in verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, here's a tremendous example of a person who has rhythm. They have a pattern. They have a flow in their life, and it is a beautiful thing. Now, I wish you'd take your bulletin, if you will, and in the little blank space under my sermon, right in the very middle of it, right in the very middle, write the word passion. Write the word passion. We're talking about, how do you get rhythm in your life? How do you get a flow? How do you have a pattern in your life? Here it is, passion. And you see it in Philippians 1:21. You talk about passion. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, he had a passion for God and the things of God. Now, let me ask you a question. And you won't have time to ponder it very thoroughly, but I pray it will linger with you, and as the week goes on, you'll let it go over and over in your mind. And here's the question. What is your passion for God? How would you say, like on a scale of 1 to 10, like what is, let's ask it this way, what is your passion in life? Let's deal with it that way. Just what is your passion? Just push God aside a moment, if you will. Be honest. What is your passion in life? Now, to help you know the truth on that question, let me suggest you ask yourself two or three questions. Number one, what do you think about most throughout the day? You just ponder that a moment. What do you think about most throughout the day? That is your passion. Or it may be who you think about most throughout the day. It could be either or. Let me suggest another thing that will help you at that point. What do you give your time and money primarily to? Take your checkbook maybe and just go through your stubs where you record your checks and just look what you're giving your money to. Just look what you're giving your money to. I was watching that seventh game of the World Series, and they said, I don't know where these seats exactly were. I think they were behind the Cubs dugout or either the Indians dugout. But these seats, these World Series tickets, there were seats as much as $24,000 to see the World Series. I'd say those folks have a passion for baseball. What would you say? Or they've got a pile of money and they don't have much sense. So you just put all that together, $24,000. Well, maybe he's got so much money that doesn't matter. But you know, what do you give your time to? That's your passion. It really is. I mean, that's just who we are. And then maybe another question, what do you look forward to? That'll tell you what your passion is. Some people are like, thank God it's Friday. Well, I guess their passion's a weekend. Maybe you say, well, the thing I look forward to is the next game. Well, you know, that's good, I guess, as long as you win the next game. Now, you take this morning, I hate to bring the subject up, but I doubt many Aggies are looking forward to the next game. And I can say that knowing not many Aggies would be here, because after being beaten down in Mississippi last night, they didn't make it to church today, you know. I watched the World Series. That seventh game of the World Series, that must just go down as one of the greatest games that I've ever watched. I mean, if you didn't see that game, I mean, the last part of that game, there were just so many unusual things that happened. But as I was watching the cameras in both cities, just thousands upon thousands of people just going whatever you go about baseball. Or whether it be baseball, football. You say, well, Pastor, you know, it's a, It's nothing wrong with any of that. Wouldn't it be a neat deal if you had that much passion about Jesus? You say, well, you need to get real. I am real. I'm just as real as you're real. I'm not down in ball. I'm lifting up Jesus. You see, even at church, there seems to be more passion about politics than Jesus. You know, thank goodness when we get up Wednesday morning, the election is over. Could I have an amen? Praise God. You know, I don't know about you. I'm to this point in this election. I have election exhaustion. I settled down to watch the 7th game of the World Series. I thought, man, I'm just going to get my mind off. I don't want to hear any more about how bad both of them are. And lo and behold, both of them had commercials how bad the other one was. I thought, I can't even get relaxation watching the 7th game of the World Series. But we'll live through it. And hey, folks, listen, our hope is not built on who wins the election. Our hope is built on Jesus Christ. Yeah, and the sad thing is, you know, we as Christians somehow miss that. Now, is it important who our leaders are? Absolutely. I'm not negating that. I'm just saying, though, like what we look forward to, people that just look forward to sports and they look forward to entertainment, they look forward to the vacation, they look forward to time off. Well, see, all that stuff gets over. It's all temporal. And that's where the passion of the majority of people is today. It's in stuff that will not last. The passion today is in gold that's going to perish. Our passion needs to be in that gold on that street in that city in heaven. But that is the key. Now, you say, okay, what you're saying to us, if we want to have a rhythm in life, what we've got to do is get a passion. Okay, now, how do you get that passion? Well, the important thing is, how do you keep it? If you have that passion, so you can have a passion, you can have a rhythm and lose it, get out of rhythm. How do you keep it? Well, here's the answer to that. Listen carefully. You live in God's presence. You live in God's presence, but listen to the rest of that statement. Regardless of the situation you're going through. You live in God's presence regardless of the situation you're going through. Now, if you take your book and you wrote the word passion, to the left of it, write the word God's presence. God's presence. And then maybe under that, write whatever. God's presence, whatever I am going through. Now, look in Philippians. You're in Philippians. Turn over in chapter 3. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 7 said, what things that were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, garbage, that I may gain Christ. He's looking back. He's looking back. Look in chapter 4. Just turn over in chapter 4. In chapter 4, look in verse 11. Now the Apostle Paul's in prison in Rome, and he's looking back. He said, not that I speak in regard of need. He said, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now think about something. Don't miss this. Think about when he said that, when he wrote that. He's in prison in Rome. And he makes this statement, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. So he had learned to live in the presence of God no matter what he was going through. Now turn back in your Bible, if you will, put it in reverse and turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now here's some stuff he had gone through. And later on in life, he looked back on it and said, doesn't matter what I've gone through, I've learned to be content. In what I have with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, he said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, perils of water, robbers, my own countrymen, Gentiles, and perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, And then in verse 28, he said, beside the other things which have come upon me daily. Yeah, here's a guy that has gone through all of that. And he looks back on it and he said, I've learned something. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself in. Now, what was the secret of his life? The secret of his life was he lived in what? He lived in the daily presence of God. Whatever he went through, it absolutely to him made no difference. And when you do that, when you get to that point in life, you have a pattern. You have a flow. You have a rhythm. And it's real easy to get out of rhythm in life. Now, I want to just share my soul in a very personal way, and I think many of you can relate to it. Detail different, but you'll be able to relate. Because here's what I believe. I believe everybody in this room, everybody watching by streaming, at times gets out of rhythm with God. We don't lose our salvation. We don't quit loving God. It's just we kind of say to ourselves, you know, somehow or another, I'm out of rhythm. I'm out of my flow. I'm out of my pattern. Now, let me share it with you. We went to the Holy Land, and you know how much I love the Holy Land, going to the Holy Land. I'm already thinking when to go back. In fact, I've just about decided, but we'll talk about it later. We got back about the middle of June. Now, let me be honest. Jet lag, I've never been able to conquer jet lag. I've been to Israel 16 times. I never have a problem going to Israel. I have a problem when I come back. Now, I've listened to everybody's home cure of jet lag. And let me just say this. For me, nothing has worked. I mean, I've tried it all. I've listened to all this, do this, do that stuff. So I just know when I come back for about 2 weeks, I'm just not going to be my best. I'm waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning thinking it's 8 o'clock in the morning. My body clock's all messed up. I'm just not my best. So we get back about the middle of June, and that rocks along till somewhere up, you know, the first part of July, maybe almost the middle of July. And I realize that it's not, I realize I'm out of my, I'm out of my, rhythm. I'm out of my pattern. I'm out of my flow. But I said, well, it's not jet lag. I don't know what it is. And from that point on until what I'm about to share with you, I've just been out of rhythm. You say, what's been the matter with you? Well, that was the problem. I decided I needed counseling. So I thought, well, I'll call myself and make an appointment and go in for counseling. So I did. I made me an appointment. I got in my study and I just started trying to analyze this thing. I thought, well, what? I'm out of rhythm. I would tell Dottie, I'm out of rhythm. I can't figure it out. I can't get in my flow. I can't get in my pattern. Now, I'm doing my job, but I know myself, I'm just out of rhythm. And I'm asking myself a lot of questions. I tell John, you know, John, I'm out of rhythm. And he'd give me some kooky answer. It never did help me any, you know. He'd tell me he loved me and I'd be okay or whatever, but he didn't understand what I was saying. And he couldn't understand what I said. Have any of you ever been out of rhythm? Could I have an amen? Well, that makes me feel better. I'm not the only one who gets out of rhythm. Well, I'm out of rhythm and I can't figure a thing out. Well, when I had my counseling session with myself, I just took a yellow pad. I think good with a yellow pad. And I just said, man, I got to connect the dots. Like, and I went all the way back to when I got back from the Holy Land. I was trying to remember now what all has happened here. Well, as I began to jot down things, a lot of things had happened. There had been changes here and changes there, and then there had been some physical issues. And you know, when you have physical issues, it's not just the physical issue. You know, you got to go for this test, and you go for this test. And can any of you relate to that? You're going for all this stuff. But as I jot all this stuff down, I thought, well, hey, here's the problem. I'm out of my consistent daily presence with God. Now, I'd not quit reading my Bible. I'd not quit praying, but it was like real fragmented because I had to stop here and go do this and this would be going on. We just had all these things going on. And, you know, we all live in the real world, and these things just happen. But the bottom line is, I'd kind of lost my passion. I'd not quit loving God. No. But that drive, I thought, man, it's something. Maybe it's just my age. Maybe this is what happens. I don't know. But I didn't buy that. But here's the deal. When I looked at all that, it became very clear. Now, I separate sermon preparation from my daily time with God. Now, much of my sermons come from my daily time with God, but for me, they need to be two different things. Many preachers say, no, my daily time with God is getting up my sermons. Well, if that works for them, good. It doesn't work for me. I need a time where I just read the Word of God, think about what I've read, let God's Spirit speak to me about what I've read, apply it to my life. That's a very personal thing between me and God. It has nothing to do with getting up sermons. That's a whole nother thing for me. But what had happened to me, this personal time had become fragmented. Like I'd do a little here and do a little there. And it's just all this stuff had kind of fragmented me. And when I saw that, I thought, hey, this is the deal. I'm out of my rhythm. I'm out of my pattern. I'm out of my flow. And this is what's wrong with me. And you just need to get back in your flow. Now, let me give you a good word. You say, well, are you back in rhythm? Listen, serious. You talk about up-to-date sermon. Thursday, I'm in my study. I'm not thinking about rhythm. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm planning ahead on some stuff. And I got so excited about my Christmas messages this Christmas that I grabbed another yellow pad and started writing down ideas for my Christmas sermons in 2017. And it hit me just like a bolt of lightning. The passion is back. The passion is back. Well, it didn't get back in my study. It got back when I got myself back in my rhythm, in my personal time presence with God. And it was just, I went home. I couldn't wait to get home. I told Dottie, I said, you won't believe it. I've got some of the best sermon ideas for 2017 in December that you've ever heard. She said, well, you do know before 2017 Christmas, we've got 2016 Christmas. Do you have any? I said, dear, you're always trying to quench the spirit. I said, don't worry. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. But the point I make is a good point. Listen, many of you this morning, you love the Lord. I love the Lord. You love God. I love God. But I'm telling you what, I got out of rhythm, and I can assure you many of you are out of rhythm. And it's not because you're bad. No. It's because life, that's spelled L-I-F-E, and it can become a very complex thing. But what happens if we're not careful, we make it more complex than it needs to be, and we become very fragmented in our time in God's presence on a daily basis. And the next thing that happens, the passion begins to leave. You want proof of it? Just look around and find empty seats. You know, just where are the folks that would be in those seats? Well, they'll be here next Sunday, and some of you won't be here. We trade out. That's how this deal works. You know, Texan's not playing, so we'll go to church. Or this isn't happening, so we'll go to church. Or this isn't happening, so we'll go. See, the truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is. When people have a passion for God and the things of God, they're going to be living in the presence of God in a daily way with consistency. And the rhythm is there, the pattern is there, and the flow is there. And it's a blessed, better way to live. I want you to bow with me this morning. You know, you can't have a rhythm with God if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or if you're not certain you do. And this morning, if you're not certain, or you say, Pastor, I am certain. I need to be saved. I thought I was saved, but I'm not sure. Or you may say, I know I'm not saved. Either way, this morning, settle that. You're in His presence, in His church. You're listening to the sermon. And you're listening to more than just the sermon. God's Spirit is speaking to you. And you just simply need to pray and say, Lord Jesus, would you come into my life right now? Forgive me of my sins and make me a Christian. I trust you, Jesus, to save me. And while some, I hope and pray, are praying that prayer, others of you this morning, maybe you feel like your life is out of rhythm. And maybe what you need to do is come and put your life in the church. You see, the church is of God. And, you know, we're going to have a passion for God and the things of God. That includes His church. Perhaps God's leading you to come be a part of this church. We'd welcome you. We'd love to have you come and join with us, become part of the First Baptist family. Perhaps others this morning, you say, I need to come for my baptism. I have that decision I need to make. Okay, that's just your next step in moving in your presence with God. And when you take that step, you're going to have a passion. It's just going to be so real. Father, would you bless these moments of invitation, God? They are your moments. I pray thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.